USDA recently pulled the plug on more than $1 billion that helped food banks and schools buy fresh farm ingredients. I'm Tana Weingartner, filling in for Lucy May. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition. These federal cuts are leading to uncertainty locally. Joining me now to discuss these popular programs and the Trump administration cuts is reporter for the 19th, Amanda Becker. Welcome.
Great to be here.
Thank you so much. And Louise Gartner, who is founder of Foxtail Farm. Welcome back, Louise.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Amanda, we're talking about $1 billion across two programs. Briefly explain the first of these programs, the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. What is it and what did it do?
Yeah, so here in Ohio, it's called Ohio Can. And this was a program that was nationwide, and each state and territory had its own name for it in many cases. It was started as part of the COVID relief package, the beginning of the Biden administration, because we were seeing supply chain disruptions and, frankly, much greater need from people to access healthy foods. There was an economic downturn at the beginning of the pandemic. So they created this program along with the school lunch program that we will talk about in a little bit. And this was a direct link between local farms and food pantry networks. So here in Ohio, like I said, it was called Ohio Can, which stands for Community Agriculture and Nutrition. In the first year of the program, it linked, I think 164 was the exact number, local Ohio farms within 400 miles of their food bank systems. So this was a way to kind of keep local healthy produce in the system, in the community, get it to the people who were showing the most need in terms of food insecurity. And it also gave these farms, which are the vast majority of them are very small. They're the type of farms you see at farmers markets. They're selling to restaurants. It gave them kind of a measure of predictability. And so they could know when they planted certain crops that they had a contract to sell those crops into the food pantry network.
Okay, very good. And then Louise, first tell us a little bit, what is Foxtail Farm?
We're a farm located on a 5-acre plot just outside of New Richmond, Ohio. And we are organic and grow vegetables year round. I've got 5 high tunnels. So we're growing spinach and carrots and beets now, but we primarily grow spinach during the winter along with edible flowers. And then in the summer, we've got some field crops that we grow as well as other crops inside the tunnels.
Okay, wonderful. So tell us now what the Local Food for Schools program, that's the other half of the two programs that have been cut.
Well, that was a program that I participated in along with the Ohio Can, but the What Chefs Want food distribution company, they were running the schools program through their, through their service. So we sent a lot of produce to the schools, spinach, peppers, carrots, and it was something that we could send a lot of volume to, and it was a connection between school kids and local farms, and they really did a nice job with trying to educate kids about where the food comes from, and showing them, pictures of the farmers. But it was great for us because we had, another outlet for our produce, especially if you had a lot on hand that suddenly needed to go somewhere.
Okay. Amanda, tell us now what's been cut exactly.
Yeah, so these programs, the current season ends on June 30th. And so starting July 1st, they're gone. So they will not be continuing into the next program year.
Because they're on a federal budget. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And so this was redirecting some. So there was some funds earmarked in the COVID-19 rescue plan, but then there was also a funding stream coming through the USDA that's pretty complicated that I won't get into. But essentially, they're saying they're repurposing those funds now for other programs. That this was a COVID program. COVID's over. So they're, using that money for something else now. But to put it in context for Ohio, in the first year, this program resulted in more than $9 million worth of food going into the food pantries here. When I talked to the Cincinnati Free Store Food Bank, he was saying they got about $700,000 worth, or were expecting about $700,000 worth of food coming from this program. So this is a significant cut. When I was talking to the Free Store Food Bank, he told me that locally, about 9 out of 10 meals for a family on SNAP, which is our kind of frontline nutrition assistance program in the country, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Colloquially, people call it food stamps. So for families on that program, which is 9 out of 10 out of their meals are coming from SNAPs. They're being covered by those SNAP benefits. The other meal, the 10th meal, is coming from the food pantries. And so if you look, when the Ohio Association of Food Banks did a survey a couple years ago, for the amount, for the families who were on SNAP coming to Ohio food banks, they report that by the end of the month, I think it was over 90% had exhausted their SNAP benefits. And so, you know, the food banks are really kind of filling this end of the month crunch for Ohio families, where they know that they can come and get healthy foods when maybe their SNAP benefits have run out. So this was $9 million annually of food going into the food banks.
And what's the rationale given for cutting it?
So they're saying that, you know, this was supposed to be a temporary measure. We want to repurpose these funds to support small farms in other ways. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins came out with a plan just last week related to small farms. It did not revive the local food purchase assistance program. But when you talk to food pantry networks coast to coast, they're saying need is greater than ever. Here in Cincinnati, need has gone up by more than 35% over 2 years. So even though the pandemic is over, the need and hunger is growing across the country and including here in Ohio and Cincinnati.
But they didn't say why.
No, they just said it no longer comported kind of with the administration's priority and goals. And I should note that when this program was launched, it included words like equity and climate. And here in Ohio, the programming language talked about culturally appropriate foods. So obviously, these are all words that are kind of hot button words now for the Trump administration. And we know that they've been running keyword searches across the federal government looking for kind of programs related to equity and cutting them. We don't know if that's why this program was cut, but this program did contain those words. And the most we've really heard from the USDA is that it no longer kind of complied with their priorities.
Doesn't comply with their priorities, but it does seem to be somewhat in conflict with recent plans announced by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., right?
Yes. Yeah, so Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is all about healthy foods. He would like to actually and is encouraging states to take steps to prevent people from using those SNAP benefits I was just talking about to purchase what he would call unhealthy foods. So sugary foods, sodas, candy. And he's saying, you know, you should buy healthy foods. So those type of foods are the exact foods that the local food purchase assistance program in Ohio CAN was getting into schools and getting into food pantries for those, you know, the same population. It really overlaps the population that's relying on the food pantries and the population that's on SNAP. And so they're saying, you know, we want you to stay away from sugar and eat healthy foods. But at the same time, the USDA is making it more difficult to access those foods by cutting this program.
And then, so just so we know off the top, how many food banks and how many farmers is this cut going to affect?
So I know that in Ohio, it's in between like 175 and 200 different farms that were participating in this program in recent years. Okay. Nationwide, it's hard to get a full tally because each state kind of runs it themselves. And it goes through like here, it goes to the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services. But we are talking about millions and millions of dollars worth of food and also pounds of food. I mean, in that year one in Ohio, if we're just looking at produce alone, so fruits and vegetables, not even beans or nuts or anything like that, 2.5 million pounds of produce were produced and distributed into food pantries in Ohio in the first year.
That's all. So what are food banks saying about the loss of that much product?
Yeah. So when I talked to the Free Store Food Bank, he said, you know, they have pretty good inventory right now, but he said he would not describe it as robust by any stretch of the imagination. Okay. So they're hoping that they can make up the differences. You know, here in Ohio, they do have state level. They have an ag clearance program that they're hoping can fill in some of the gaps. But also, they're still in the process of finalizing the state budget here in Ohio. And they are also scaling back money for some of these programs, again, because they're saying that these were specific to the pandemic. It was meant as like a stopgap measure to address increased need in the pandemic. So now, you know, we're just reverting back to kind of what it should have been. Mm-hmm. The issue being need has only increased.
This is Cincinnati Edition. If you're just joining us, we're discussing USDA cuts and the impact on farmers, food banks, and school lunch programs. So speaking of school lunch programs, Louise, tell me a little bit about how you at Foxtail Farm are being affected by this giant cut.
Well, it was a very big impact, actually. We were pretty disappointed when it got canceled. We are still on last year's contract, and so we have until June 30th to still deliver. We're still delivering some spinach and whatnot, but our plants had to change. We knew that we wouldn't be able to deliver the volumes of things like tomatoes and cucumbers, which were really popular, and getting to the culture thing, you know, green tomatoes were very popular there. So I'm planting less of those. I've reached out and to other markets. So basically, I've had to shift gears. Fortunately, I've been able to find other markets that I think I'll be able to move most of my product through. So it's
like kinds of markets? What do you?
Other farms actually that have CSAs, community supported agriculture. We've got three or four of those that we're helping to supplement those farms. So fortunately, you know, they tend to do a little bit bigger volume all at once. And so I've been able to, you know, move some of my product through there. So I've been lucky, really, that way. Because for a while, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this.
Yeah.
So I got lucky because it was, you know, I was planning down the road to go to the food bank. And that's what I had space allocated for. And so I've had to, mix that up a little bit more.
And how many seeds did you have, like, already in the ground, or did this news happen before you did your planting?
It happened before, but, I mean, the plans were there. It wasn't so much that things were already planted, because we were informed of this, I think, in February, maybe. Mm. So it was early enough that we didn't have to, you know, shift things as far as field work goes. But still, longer term, you know, I had fields designated for certain crops, and those were planning to go to the food bank. So I'm still hoping that I'll be able to move some of those other crops to other markets.
But, you know, how does that affect your budget, though? Because, you know, if you're planning to get paid from certain places and that doesn't happen, how do you plan for the future?
Well, it's kind of hard, you know. So, yeah, the budget was because this would have been my third year working with the food banks. And so now that we had some traction, if you will, we understood how it worked. We were more familiar with what they could move, what their people wanted. I was really going to ramp up and produce twice what I had produced last year. So I had a budget for that. I had plans for that, and I had space allocated for it. And then that just, you know, the rug got pulled there. So it did have a big impact on what my projections were. So I, you know, again, I have to not plant so much of one crop and try to shift to another and hope that I can move that kind of product. Because I can grow a lot of stuff if I know where it's going to go.
Right.
But it's really to be paid for it, right?
Not just donate it, right? This is your business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't just give it away or throw it away. That's obviously not profitable. So, yeah. It had a very big impact on the projections.
All right. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And then later in the program, is there a link between cancer and gut health? This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Tana Weingartner, filling in for Lucy May. We're joined by Amanda Becker with the 19th and founder of Foxtail Farm, Louise Gartner, and we're talking about cuts from the USDA to some local programs that supply food for food banks and for schools. Amanda, let's go back to you. Who's losing out on fresh produce here? Tell us about the recipients.
Yeah, so I see kind of two different groups of people that are losing for different reasons. So there's 47 million Americans who are considered food insecure, which either means you go hungry sometimes or you aren't able to access healthy foods. Here in Ohio, there were 14.7 million food bank visits in 2023. They don't, you know, they track it by visits. So some of those were people coming back multiple times. About a quarter of the state qualifies to shop at a food pantry. And that's about 3.4 million Ohioans. So those are 3.4 million Ohioans who will be losing out on access to foods that this program provided. The other group of people who I think are really losing out are the small farmers. These programs were designed with kind of the history of the USDA and the inability of people who are not white men to access credit to start farms. And, you know, there were a series of settlements about 20 years ago with different groups of farmers who said that the USDA had discriminated against them. But that's why those words about equity were in the inception of this program. You know, more than 95% of farmers in this country are white. They're older. They're usually men. So this, and, you know, small farms are dwindling. So this was a way to try and encourage people who might not normally consider farming to get into an industry that can be very, you know, precarious. You're dealing with weather, you're dealing with blight, and, you know, really encourage them and connect them with their communities. And that connection was really important. A lot of these small farmers participating in the program, they were doing it because they felt called to address hunger in their communities. You know, they were the ones creating the food. They wanted to help keep it in their community, and not just at farmers markets, but at places where, you know, the average person could go and access it, including food insecure people.
Right. Well, Louise, like, speaking of small farmers, are you talking with, you know, other folks like you across the state? What are you hearing from them?
Similar things, yeah. I've talked to a couple other farms that have been impacted the same way. We're all just kind of throwing up our hands. It's very frustrating that, you know, here we had a great market. It was a great program. People appreciated it on both sides, the recipients and the producers, and then it's just gone. So, you know, we're scrambling, looking for other markets. But, you know, to Amanda's point, you know, the people losing out, it was, you know, the program really, for me personally, it brought a lot of pride that I was able to deliver fresh organic produce to people who would rarely have access to it. And those people, I saw them when I delivered to the food bank on Liberty in Cincinnati. The people were there picking up food, and, you know, they would recognize me. They would know who I was and what I was bringing, and they were... It was kind of like this connection that that's just unfortunate that it's gone. But, you know, that was the point of the program, was to connect these people and these programs. And
why is that something that's valuable? Why is it valuable to be connected to the people that are growing your food?
Well, it's human connection, I think. You know, it's... these are people who would probably never, ever be on a farm. But, and, you know, all they see is canned goods or in a box or something. And here it is, it's fresh, it's coming from me. I'm the one growing it, I'm the one delivering it. And I think it's important that not only that they see who the farmer is, but that the farmer sees who the people consuming it is. It gives me that sense of commitment. And, you know, want to keep moving because it's not an easy job, but, you know, it does bring a sense of loyalty, a sense of accomplishment, I think. And again, a sense of pride.
Kind of what's the sort of status of the farming industry across Ohio, you know, large scale or small scale? What value do the small farmers bring over large industrial scale farms?
Well, you know, everybody's important. You know, all the farms are important. I think, you know, the grain farmers, they're more at risk for the marketplace itself and world markets and all the pressures of price and weather, obviously, of course. For small farms like me, I can manage a little bit better because I have the high tunnels. I can grow during the summer. I can irrigate. It's more micromanaging. And, you know, we all have our place. We all have our importance. And I think, you know, I think the state of agriculture is, you know, we're hard workers. We're committed to it. And we understand what we're doing and how to grow things. The government can serve a really valuable purpose. It certainly does for the big farmers. And it certainly could for the smaller farmers. And it was, I guess, we come back to this program. It was doing just a great thing. And I would hope that they'd bring it back to some kind of level. But I think the state of agriculture in general is, from my perspective, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate when you have a system that's working and then they end it. It's just too bad.
Well, and to that point, Amanda, what kind of pushback, if any, are we seeing across the country?
It hasn't been a popular decision. You had kind of, I forget the exact name, but the Bureau representing small farms in Iowa, you know, helped some small farms there put out press releases. You had Willie Nelson write an open letter. And, you know, back to the school program for just a minute in terms of the people who are losing out. When I mentioned the 47 million Americans who are food insecure, 1 in 5 children in this country are food insecure. And so they were able to access healthy foods through their school lunch programs. That are also potentially facing changes in a national piece of legislation as they negotiate the details of the renewal of Trump's 2017 tax cuts. They're looking to save $1.7 trillion by cutting that from other programs. And part of that is SNAP. And how does this, you know, chain ultimately impact school lunches? It's because children are often authorized to receive school lunches based on whether their family qualifies for SNAP. So if we're changing who can qualify for SNAP and that results in fewer people on SNAP, then there's going to be fewer children receiving the school lunches overall, and those lunches are not going to have, you know, Louise's produce in it.
Well, okay, so speaking of farm fresh food, like produce, and Louise, your produce, I don't have kids, but one thing I know is that they don't like vegetables. So, you know, tell me a little bit about how you've seen, you know, vegetables going over with the kids in the schools.
Well, I think it's been popular. You know, I haven't seen them eating it, to be honest. But, they get little packages of them. They try to introduce different vegetables. I think they did kohlrabis last fall and little carrot packages and radishes. And I think, if you're only used to having them super cooked and
out of cans.
Yeah. That's different. And that was one of the points of the program too, is to introduce them to fresh vegetables and different kinds. So give them a different perspective on the word vegetable.
And introducing new vegetables. Did I just hear you say kohlrabi?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about how the schools would prepare that.
Well, I think I'm not positive on this, but I think they would have to peel them, obviously. But I think they served them they're raw as a snack.
Okay.
Cut them up and just kind of like, chew on them like a carrot. But it's just the kohlrabi.
That's fabulous. I love this. Okay. Well, Amanda, is there any indication that this could be reversed, like so many other Trump decisions?
So every farm and food pantry I spoke to, whether directly or, you know, just between us, their best case scenario was, we're hoping they just revive what's basically the same program, slap a different name on it, you know, brand it for this administration and bring it back. But when I reached out to the USDA, they told me they don't see a need for new programs. You know, they want to look at their existing programs. And then a week later, you know, when Agriculture Secretary Rawlins did a tour through Nebraska and announced the USDA's new plan to support small farms, this wasn't a part of it. So, you know, Congress will be negotiating the farm bill later this year. It's something they haven't been able to really renegotiate since 2018. Mm. So I would say that it will be an uphill battle to get any kind of new programs or revive this program as part of those negotiations, especially because they're exploring really dramatic cuts to SNAP ahead of that. And SNAP is usually part of it. So it's just making the negotiations a lot harder. So I would say not likely for the local food purchase assistance program to come back.
All right. I've been talking with reporter for the 19th, Amanda Becker, and Foxtail Farm founder, Louise Gartner. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Up next, new research on the connection between gut health and the risk of developing blood cancer. This is Cincinnati Edition.